You're listening to Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life.
What'd you learn?
I learned that it was just plugged into the wrong thing. And now it's working.
How does it sound?
We're recording. Your eyes are closed.
My eyes feel so much better when they're closed right
that's,
now.
Because that's sleep. You're getting closer to sleep.
Does it sound better now?
I don't know.
Are you going to check it?
Maybe. I think the waves look good enough. Okay. Let me check it.
But if it's different.
And we're back with a good enough recording of another episode of To Become Family, where we are recording just audio across from one another because I've missed you. I've not seen your face.
Look at you.
I always have to turn to see you. Whoa, that was your legs.
And we can play footsie now too.
That's not how you end an episode. That's not how we do it.
That might be how we end this episode. Yes. Thank you for coming and good night.
So a new thing we're going to do today. Why are you...
I'm so nervous.
No, it's not a new thing. No. So, what did we do today? We ran a retreat today.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's not new.
No. Well, let's start there.
Okay.
What did we do?
We ran a retreat at our co-op for the middle schoolers. Yeah. And on Thursday... Well, yes. On Thursday, it'll be for the high schoolers at our co-op. And it was lovely.
It was great.
It was so nice. Mm-hmm. What a good group of kids.
Yes. Accurate.
Thank you for your one-word affirmations.
That was good. Good insight. I don't care. So, like, one of the hard things about recording a podcast is, like, balancing between, like, what does the audience want to hear?
Yes.
What can I talk about? And be excited about talking about. And then also, like, can I still get a decent amount of sleep so that I can function the next day?
Yep.
So that's a balancing act.
It is a balancing trifecta.
Monica tries to not yawn into the microphone. No, so I mentioned this to the middle schoolers as we were talking that, like, I don't envy our kids when they get to that age. Because at least, like, right now, I still feel very, like, we have a cool factor.
With us. Our kids?
No, not our kids.
No, not. Kids. They know. They know.
They know nothing.
They know that we're not cool.
No idea how hip I am. No, with the kids that we did the retreat with today, yeah. I feel like there was like a level of connection there because like we're younger than their parents.
Yeah.
And older than their older siblings. So like we kind of fall into an interesting
category. Yeah.
Category for them. But I wonder like, we know things that they're into. That,
yes.
We know
more than I did.
I haven't hit in the old person phase of like, what's that? That's silly. What's Riz? So like, oh gosh. Okay.
Right. I'm so old.
I've chosen to stay young forever. Gomer yesterday.
It's because
like,
of your
you
baby
do?
Face.
What do you do? Wait,
what is Riz?
I'm not talking about this right now. we're not doing this whole thing.
Okay.
But I wonder what it'll be like for our kids when we get to, because like Colby's only 3 years away
from
being a seventh grader.
Yeah.
Right. And then what's it, 2.5 years from being a seventh grader. And like the retreat was for seventh and eighth graders. And like those kids seem so big to me.
Yeah.
But like Colby's not that much younger.
No.
So he's going to be there soon. And even like when we visited them during lunch. And like Colby's
our
me.
Kids, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like he
oh my gosh,
me,
he
like,
acted cool. He was like,
Dad,
didn't want to wave.
Like, Dad, shut up! I'll smack you here, and you'll like it. I did not say that.
You did not, nor have you ever.
No.
That was that was purely shock value.
No, that is how I didn't like him looking at me like don't.
Like, don't embarrass me, don't Dad. Embarrass me.
Do you know the things you do?
I have tapes.
Like, don't embarrass. Are you kidding me? So it was just funny because, like, he did, he made a face don't.
And I gave him a thumbs up. Don't do that thing that you do.
I should have done something weird. No, but I went up to the group of boys. And I just said, gentlemen, how are you? And then I left. But it was just funny because I remember being like, being at that age and like perceiving my parents as weird and like not cool and embarrassing. They also didn't speak English. And like asked me what people are saying. So like that added to that.
Added to the effect.
But, but what is this? But like I don't know, was that, did you have that too as a kid?
Being embarrassed by my parents?
Yes.
Listen, my dad wears cowboy boots and a fanny pack. Absolutely. Okay. So absolutely.
So how dare Colby
exactly.
Give me that look. You know how I could dress?
Yes. Mom makes sure that you don't dress that way.
No, I would never
jeans
wear
and athletic shirt.
A fanny pack.
Okay, thank you. You won't cross that line.
Right, but so yeah, so I wonder what it'll be like for them when we get to, like, are they going to see us that way as we get older?
Yeah.
And how are like, how is what we say going to not land? Because, like, we got brought in to do the retreat because, it usually is because, like, parents and catechists and teachers, and whenever when you do a retreat, like, you need a message being said by somebody else.
Yes.
Who will hopefully connect with the teens, connect with the youth, and make the message, the gospel message, seem more relevant.
Yes.
Right? And not, like, not because we're updating the message at all, but because we're using language and examples and things that connect with them, that make them feel like, okay, I can still live this out. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because my parents want me to, but like, oh, look, it's real.
And also, like, you understand why it's hard for us to do the things that we're being asked to do. Like, you get it.
Yeah. We still have that. And I wonder, like, are we still going to have that ability with our own kids?
Hmm.
What do you, I genuinely think yes.
I know this is where we disagree.
Don't disagree. I know. Because the reason I think yes is because I think we are the same people to our kids as we are to everyone else. Mm-hmm. Like we don't act differently. Like how I talk is how I talk to my children.
Mm-hmm.
So like they would not be surprised by like the jokes I make because they're like, oh, dad jokes like that at home.
Mm-hmm. So and like, Colby thinks it's hilarious at home.
Like, yeah,
this boy
with his freaking look at me.
With I'm too cool because
maybe it was like don't take the fire. Don't like. Because he was kind of holding court.
Yeah.
Like the kids were all around him. He's like, Dad, no, don't take over.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe he thought I was too cool.
Please
don't come here.
Don't make me feel like, that must be it.
That must have been, it's the only thing that makes sense.
It's funny because he and I are your biggest fans at home. Like, we think everything you say is funny. Whereas John Paul can give you a stonewall face. Yeah, like, if you say something goofy, he could give you dagger eyes.
Yes.
That wasn't funny, Dad. Meanwhile, Colby and I are like, bah, ha, ha. Like, sorry, everyone who listened, that probably sounded horrible. but so you feel like we can still be relevant and understand. And I would agree with that. I think a huge part is because we're still in youth ministry right now. And yes, and keeping up with the trends and also just, I don't know. Teenagers have the same issues. Just they look different. But I disagree in that we should be our kids' youth ministers.
I think youth ministry, the only reason it exists is because there's a gap between there's like a missing, because parents aren't doing their jobs the way they should and clergy aren't doing their jobs as they should. So like they needed a go-between.
Mm. Somebody help.
And like the catechists aren't either. So like they needed somebody who can be like relationally relevant to the kids, but can also teach them about the faith and can also like help them be formed as they grow. So like not just teach them, but like form them.
Yeah. Human formation.
Right.
Yeah.
Have a relational aspect to it. So like, because it's easier to just throw money in a thing than actually change yourself. So like they've created the youth minister. Mm. And like, I don't think my job as youth minister will be very relevant to our kids.
Does that and their sense? Friends.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like the role of youth minister would be pointless for them because if they need an adult that they need to talk to, that's not their parents. Like they have they have plenty, right? We mm-hmm. just happen to be blessed, but like they mm-hmm. have their godparents, like they have mm-hmm. their friends' parents who they've known since they're like, they'll have somebody else to talk to. Like they don't need.
Yeah. But do you think that's just unique to our situation because we've chosen to live in the community where our kids will be friends with their friends for since birth.
Yeah. But I also think that, but also I hope that our lines of communication will be open with the kids. Yeah. I don't know if it will be.
I just think it's good to add people to our kids' corner, like add mm-hmm. mentors and role models.
A youth minister to do what?
Be that.
That's like coaching. That's like having somebody else coach my kids in basketball. Like, no, you're not going to be as. You don't agree. I don't feel like they're going to be as good. We just have a burp. Okay, let it out on the mic.
Mm-mm, that's rude.
Does that make sense?
Like, excuse
me. I'm okay with like. You need to talk about this thing you don't want to talk to me about. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, go walk to Matt's house.
But like,
I have no problem. Like, go, just leave.
Okay. So you're speaking, like, you're just saying specifically for our kids.
That's what I was talking about.
Like, yeah. But I don't want to be that voice where they like, they hear what they hear at home and then they go and hear it on repeat at youth group. Like I would rather somebody else affirming the message that we're saying at home.
I remember there once was a lady named Monica.
You are sassy.
Who said, I don't want to be their teacher and their mom. I don't know how they would.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So homeschooling
is the worst model you could possibly think of for education. That's so true.
I also wonder if there
was my foot tasted real good.
I feel I'm trying to stay on track and not make jokes. But I wonder if there's like a level of like your woundedness of like you needed to hear from outside things.
Mm.
And so like you just desire, like I just don't want to ever like over.
I don't want to be their only person. Right. Yeah. Maybe.
So keep going.
Mm. But they have, okay, so that being said, though, being in the co-op, they have other teachers, and I really like that. I really like that they're accountable to other people, and they're learning from different teaching styles. So I still stand by my assertion. Mm-hmm. / I can also be their teacher.
Yes.
Both and.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on an island with this thought.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know what what's your face. So like, for example, like if our boys ever have, like they have questions about sex, right?
Yes.
Or relationships.
Yes.
I don't need them talking to anybody about that. Like I guess cause I have no problem compartmentalizing. Like you have a question about a thing. Like I'll tell you about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that from like other episodes you've heard how blunt I am. Like
yeah.
I'm very blunt. I'm also very empathetic, right? 96th percentile, whatever.
Yeah.
4% politeness. So like I'd rather be able to explain the thing to them well. And then if they have like further questions, they're like, I don't understand, or I want to hear a different perspective, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I don't want them going to other people who won't do as good a job as I think I will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been doing this with other people's kids for years.
Yes.
And like I know what you're thinking. So like that's one of the things that like I think worked well with the co-op today is that like I knew where they were coming from because like they're coming from homeschool families. So like I knew what the older kids were struggling with. So I was able to exactly point that out. I knew what the younger kids were struggling with. So I was able to point that out. So like I can kind of I don't think that's a thing that everyone can just do. So like there's
right. So you see the need for youth ministry. But if everyone can't do that in their own home.
You know who can do that better than I can? Their parents.
But apparently they can't.
That's why I'm going back to me and us and our parenting. I'm like, I'm going to be aware. Like, we are super aware of where they are and like all their struggles dynamically. With who argues with who for what reason.
Yeah.
And like, mm-hmm. you need to work on this. You need to stop whatever.
Yes.
So like, I'm sure we're going to be again, I don't know. I could be completely wrong foot in mouth, but... So, insert joke about Peruvian feet. I was trying to think of one quickly because how they taste, right? No. but I hope that as they get older, we're able to pick up on like this is where you're struggling, this is where you need to like and like you and I come up with like, this is how we're going to address it with the kid. Instead of just like, I don't think parents do this on purpose, but I know that there's things that like they don't address with them because they're like, oh no, they're not into that yet. Mm-hmm. Right? They wait for them to get into it. And like, so, and that's usually where you and I come in as youth ministers and be like, hey, have you addressed this at all yet?
Yeah.
And then we start bringing it and they're like, oh yeah, I know about it.
No.
Right. So like, and I remember early on when we were doing youth ministry, like parents used to yell at us like, why are you bringing up
pornography? Yes. Why are you introducing this to my kid? They like, shouldn't be hearing about this yet.
I've been doing it for years. What yes. are you talking about? Yes. Why am I bringing it up? I'm finally addressing it. You've been ignoring it for the last 5 years.
Yes.
So like, I think that's one of the big things that like happens in youth ministry that we can avoid.
Yeah.
By just being aware of where our kids are at.
Yeah. I feel like also we as parents have tried to anticipate what's coming next too. So we've instead of addressing it after the fact, we've been trying to prep our kids for the things that come next. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've even talked to our kids about like when they play with older kids and like what's an appropriate way to play with older mm-hmm. kids and not, because older kids like to do things that little kids don't like to do. So we've even talked about, you know, when they go off to this other room, like you don't follow them because they're doing big kid things or, mm-hmm. And then eventually we're going to start talking about what those big kid things are and whether you can or cannot be doing those things. What? Yeah. But yeah, I guess, yes, I see your point. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just don't want to, I guess I also don't want to think about, like, it was crazy when we were today talking about like, oh, when did we start youth ministry? And to be like, wow, 15 years ago. Okay. Like, so part of me is a little daunted by the idea of still being in youth ministry for 10 plus more years. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's tiring. Mm-hmm. Can I just stay at home and record my podcast instead of going out and playing and playing
recording podcasts forever?
Forever, instead of playing plate games to get you to like me.
Listen, we pull out the game zone.
I think that's part of what makes youth ministry tiring is the like the song and dance to try to get teenagers to listen to you.
That's why I hate that part. But in the part that I really enjoyed was like at the end of the retreat today, we ended with adoration, and then after adoration we did small groups. Mm-hmm. And I was able to be with a small group of guys. I think there's 12. So I was with this, I did a small group of 12 young men, 7th and 8th graders, mostly 8th graders
for the boys.
And I enjoyed that kind of youth ministry so much more because I know how to do a small group. So like I know how to ask questions and point. A lot of it is from my psych background because towards the end of my psych degree, I had to do a lot of like, it was prepping me for grad school. So I was doing a lot of like, it was counseling courses. I don't remember what the counseling courses were called or what we learned specifically, but I do know that like some of the things we learned, I don't know all of it, but some of it we learned how to do like how to run groups.
Yeah.
Like we had to learn stuff like that. So like I've learned how to manage groups, and I saw that come out with these young guys, and like they just needed permission to be able to share certain things.
Yeah.
And they were so open.
Yeah.
And that was just very nice to see. And I'm like, this is the kind of youth ministry that I think needs to be happening more.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's not more effective. Yeah.
Like you don't, and it's also not a place where like you can commiserate with the kids. Cause like I don't like,
like the oversharing like and therapy. Yes, like, absolutely.
I love harping on the question, like, how's your prayer life? And then just like letting them talk and like kind of like, okay, well, maybe do you think you could work on this? Like, and then just giving them things that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying like that. This is where like I would want for our kids at least like a good priest that can help them spiritually, like, you know, give them different ideas for their prayer life. And like friends who could like give suggestions like, oh, maybe your spirituality is more of this and that. Like, I like that idea of having
a community. Cause our kids are not just a carbon copy of us.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't, but like back to like the idea of youth minister, like I feel like the way that youth minister works now is is usually sent to be like last ditch effort before they go to college. Like, please engage in the faith.
Yeah.
When you leave our house.
Yeah.
And like, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or like, please like, I don't know, like be the one that brings them to Steubenville to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Like, you don't need Steubenville to do that.
Sure.
But I feel like that's where like things are kind of, and like, this is me talking. I'm a youth minister. I'm talking all kinds of crap about it. But like, that's where it's just the model is now. And I just don't want that for our kids. Like I want.
Well, because I mean, yes, we've been committed to youth ministry for a long time. And I'm kind of whining about it, but I love it. I love it. We do it every weekend.
No, I don't love it. I love the teens.
I love the teens. Yes. But really, like, how effective can one person be when you're with a person at most 2 hours a week, right? And those are the kids that come every week, and that those don't exist. Like, they're busy and they don't come every week. The committed ones come most weeks, right? But this is stuff that is supposed to be relationally happening with people in their life that are not just like for a passing time, but family members and godparents. And like, yeah, I think it's so important when you're starting your family to have that in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, where are we going to live and who are we going to be spending time with? Who are we fostering relationship with? Because these are the people who are going to be in our children's lives.
Yes.
And like, make choices that with that in mind, because you don't want to get to them being 14 and being like, I've had no support as a parent. So my faith life and my human formation, my spirituality has been lacking because I haven't been supported by a community. And now I have a teenager who I'm trying to support all on my own as a unit, as parents. But like, I wish I had adults for them in their life that they can go and speak to and stuff. Cause listen, we're not going to do things perfectly as parents too. And like, I would love for our kids to feel comfortable talking to somebody else of like, how can I like work within my family, you know, and how things like just to be able to, I want our kids to have somebody to complain about us too, because
listen, there's nothing to complain about.
That's not true. No. So I think that's important. Listen, I think it's important to have an outlet
for that. I'm gonna push back on that. Like on the, okay, maybe there's plenty of things to complain about. Dad keeps talking and he doesn't listen to anything, but so
he pushes back on everything and he's always hyperbolic,
but because like a lot of it is coming from our own experience and from the things our teens tell us over the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those things would have been non-existent if those parents implemented the idea of rupture and repair?
Mm.
Right? And actually apologized to their kids for the things that they did, they were doing wrong, and actually
did something to try to repair it, to
get better.
Because
a lot of it, from at least from my personal experience with my own family and then also from the teens that have talked to us, it was always like the same kinds of fights and the same kinds of things, the same things are being pointed out. I'm being made feel bad about this. And there's never an improvement in the relationship until they get older and they realize that they were just being teenagers. But like, but there's never the idea of like both being heard, right? And improving on the relationship.
And do you think that's just part of the teenage experience? Like, even if it's done well, do you think they notice?
Probably not. Super annoying.
They're very selfish. Because their brain makes them that way.
But
developmentally.
But, and I, again, and this is where I talked to, I did talk to a professor of neuroscience.
You spoke to someone? Who are you talking about?
I can't say his name. At work. Super tall man. Super brilliant. Whatever. Not kidding. Okay.
Oh my goodness. I'm so confused.
You know the person.
Okay.
They were part of the thing. Okay. That doesn't give you enough clues.
Here. Right.
I was, one of the things I talked to him about.
Write it down. Where no one will see.
I can't do it. There's no pen. So one of the things I talked to him about is like the age of reason being 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about if like that can fluctuate now depending on kids' developmental, mm-hmm. like and things coming up. And then I said, is it possible to get kids to an age of reason sooner, right? If you instill in them more discipline and virtue early on, like their capacity to like to push back on desires, things like that. And he said that there's like, if you look at the way the brain learns, like there's a possibility of them recognizing those patterns sooner so that they can recognize like, if I get here, if I'm in this place, like I can choose A or B, as opposed to feeling like they have to all of a sudden make a decision regardless of what the decision's
going to be. They can anticipate more.
Right. So there is the possibility of getting kids to that level sooner. So I wonder if there's the same capacity for teenagers. Like I know that their brains are developing. They're not fully developed until 25. At least that's like the latest research of when I read 20 years ago. I know that that's a thing, but I also know that the brain can grow based on different behaviors and things you're instilling.
Based on environment and based on, right?
So like there's different areas of the brain that become more powerful. So who's to say that a teenager can't have greater capacity for understanding of what's happening within interrelationships and intra-relationships, like within themselves mm-hmm. and then within others, if guided to do that well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's me like over like thinking I have more power than I do and more control. Like I'm sure my kids, like our kids show us plenty that like we don't know what we're doing. But I also yeah. do think that like we have shown that like if you continue to adjust and try and not yeah. just give up on the kid.
Yeah.
And think like and assume like, oh, I can't because I'm not yeah. equipped for this. But like, no, we're their parents. We're the ones that are the best equipped yeah. for this.
Yep.
Like we've had success in areas that I never would have thought we would have.
Fair. Yeah. And to not underestimate your children and to set high expectations, because even if they don't meet them now, you can work on that with them to get there. Yeah. Yeah.
And then also there's the family that we emulate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They never had those issues to that extent.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they did. Because we were there to listen to them and stuff. But right. like, but it was never to the huge dramatic extent.
Sure. Or to other for kids, sure. Right? Yes.
And a lot of it is because they constantly spoke to their parents first.
Yeah.
They were in constant communication with them.
Yes.
And that
I loved. Because we've had her on. So I loved hearing from one of the sons the other day. Yeah, I talk to them every night. This boy is in best ranger training.
Yeah.
And he calls his parents every night to talk to them. And I'm like, I just love.
But like, yes. I think we've also gotten to a place in culture and society that like what I'm saying sounds, there's no way teenagers, but like yeah. are crazy and they're hormonal and then all these yeah. things. And I wonder how much of it is like that we've been, what's the word?
Conditioned.
Yeah. I was like, what's the word with the dogs and the ring? Like we've been conditioned.
Pavlov.
Yeah, we've been conditioned to think that this is what teenagers are because yeah. that was our experience, and then that's what we've been told as you know society and everything.
But like, sure.
What
if there's those are like the examples that are held up, like these yes. extreme examples. Yes. But then
we saw the kids today, and just like a small example of the kids today that don't have phones. So there's 7th and 8th graders who've never yes. had phones. Maybe one or two have flip phones. I think one has a phone, but barely gets to use it.
Yeah.
And seeing them compared to the kids that have phones,
yes,
it's a huge difference.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Behaviorally, like they're able to have conversations. They're able to hold your attention.
Yes.
Or you're able to hold their attention easier.
Yes.
Like I'm not trying to like beg them to listen to me. Yes. So I didn't have to entertain them.
No. Today. I mean, I gave like a 30 minute talk mm-hmm. about,
yeah.
And I'm not entertaining. Like I don't tell jokes and I'm not a good storyteller, but like I kept their attention for like honest, like eye contact attention.
Yeah.
And
that was some of yes. the boys' favorite part too.
I know.
Like, you know how hard I tried, sir.
But yeah, that's very true. And that they could have just like nice interactions. And they still did knucklehead stuff.
Yes,
the microwave thing still happened in the middle of the day, but that was a high schooler, not one of the middle schoolers.
Still 7th and 8th graders.
That's true.
But you see that they have a different capacity to do things for based sure. on the things that like yeah. based on their environment and things that they were given.
Yeah.
So like who's to say that we can't help our kids get to they're not going to be perfect, obviously, mm-hmm. but get to the point that they can function at the highest capacity emotionally and intellectually, whatever.
And socially, yeah.
Socially as a 14, 15 year old.
Yeah.
So that we're not having, so again, back to like, so that we don't need a youth minister to be a go-between to kind of get a message across, because every time we talk, we fight. And every time that we have a discussion, there's a door slammed and I hate you and all that. Like, I don't know why that's assumed that needs to happen. Like, I can't stand the like, oh, just wait till you have a teenager. I'm like, no, people were saying, just wait till you're married more than 5 years, you're going to hate being with this person. Like, do you remember this?
Yeah.
And this is when we were dating. I'm like, I'm never going to hate being with Monica. And they were like, well, you just wait. You don't know yet. You have no experience. I'm like, no, I know I love my wife. I'm never going to be tired of her.
But we still met with hardships, right?
And I still like being with you. I'd rather be with you miserable than be alone.
Okay.
I'm
sorry. Fair. But I guess my point being that like that we still sought out other resources to help us in areas that we were deficient.
Sure.
Or that we saw problems.
Yes.
So like, I mean, yeah, because people listen to this podcast. like people listen to us on the podcast. But I get, like, I'm even thinking about like going to talks and hearing from other people who know things that we don't know and can give us things that we just haven't learned yet, and they're wiser and smarter, and they've been through life experiences. Like, I think that there's good in that too, though. It's like to hear from other people.
Yeah. But like you and I both attest to like the speakers though, they don't make the impact of change. Like the biggest people that make the most influence on you are your parents.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the thought.
Okay. So we're just ordering where we prioritize who's influencing us.
I think
is that what you're saying? Like,
more the kids.
I mean, or just anybody, because I think sometimes we put a lot of clout into like the speakers that come mm-hmm. and stuff, and it's like, okay, yes, they can spark change, they can inspire, they can get the ball rolling, they can get you excited again, but the long term gain comes from relational impact.
Well, like relating it to our kids, I feel like there's the temptation that like I just need my kid to hear this thing. They need to like maybe they have to go to hear the speaker. They need to hear the message differently. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest impact is always parents.
Sure.
Right. So like
So to rightly order that like not that speakers are irrelevant, but that the message should be first coming from parents, and they are the most impactful.
Yes, and I wouldn't even say a message, but like. Having and we've seen it again from the all the teens we've seen, like the parents who go to mass and love their kids and don't judge them for like, and not that don't judge them, but like you can still have high expectations, but like love them even when they're failing. Like mm-hmm. those parents,
yeah,
those kids end up being the ones that function the best in college, yeah, post college,
sure.
So like, and then they go to mass because their parents went to mass with them every day, like the just doing the thing.
Yeah.
With them, it makes a bigger difference than like I just don't feel like having a youth minister for 4 years like makes as big of an impact as mm-hmm. we think it does, or if we've been conditioned to think it does.
Yeah.
Like we'll make an impact for like two or three kids.
Yeah.
And then there's like a ton that like maybe we did, maybe we didn't, we don't really hear it. But like there's a couple that we really do, and that's yeah. great. But like parents are making bigger impacts. It could make bigger impacts instead yeah. of just kind of like, I don't know, hopefully a coach or teacher, somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when we're passing off responsibility because we're afraid of our own weaknesses or deficiencies, right? And that we're hoping somebody else can fill our own gaps.
And for you, is it also like a fear of I'm going to make it worse or I'm going to mess this up? Because like you're the one that said like I want somebody else because I don't want them always hearing from me.
I guess it's also just like I know that there are going to be things that I didn't do. Didn't do the way that my kids needed it to be done. Mm-hmm. So is there somebody else that could help that like maybe even I had the best intentions and I hoped that this is what they would get out of me doing, I don't know, something mm-hmm. me parenting and loving them, but like that I just didn't do it mm-hmm. in the way that they needed me to, and just hoping that there's somebody else out there who can like care about my kids and love my kids and do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to have a community around them
that
can care about them.
And I just think that like a youth minister can be part of that community that's around them, that supports them. I don't know. I just look at how we have five very different children. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do our very, very best. And we're going to, we're going to hope that grace fills in everything that we aren't able to do on our own. But like the fact of the matter is there are going to be things that we could have, should have, would have done better for them.
Yeah. See, I just don't feel like the youth minister is I feel like godparents and like, because.
Sure. And I guess that's where it's important to be intentional about who you put around your children. Right. And
because like you and I know that the only way that we're effective is that we're involved with them for the rest of their lives. Like we've said that to like, all right, we've talked about that. Like when we feel a kid, like, all right, this kid is.
Really, oh, when we've for a youth ministry. I was like, of course we're going to be in there. I thought you were talking about our kid.
Youth ministry, like if a kid is needing something from us and like we've connected and
sure.
we listen and we're able to support them, like we're like, okay, they're ours until they no longer need us.
Sure.
So that means into college. That means post college, and we just can't do that for everyone. So I feel like
we're limited. Minister
could do this. Like, no, there's not a lot that could.
Well, because if it's done well, then it's because it's been built on relationship.
But like sure. picking good godparents and surrounding yourselves with like having friends that can invest in your kids. I feel like that's a better use of your time mm-hmm. than hoping that like the church is going to hire it. Cause like, right.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and also like, And then also to like expect certain things out of a youth minister, like they are only one person and they have so many children under their care, under their charge, and they are trying to address so many different personalities and needs as well. So yes, like, yes, to assume that the youth minister is the answer to all of every parent's problems. Agreed.
Accept your apology.
Yeah,
her and Colby's biggest fans.
I still don't want to be my kid's youth minister. You haven't convinced me that we should still be youth ministering when they are in high school.
I guess my point is that like we're not going to be doing much as either youth minister, running dumb games, and we're already investing in their lives. Like they're stuck with us,
right?
So
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
A couple more years.
This is exactly like when we got into that argument with the core members at St. Joe's when we were in youth group. It was during a lock-in. Do you remember that argument?
No.
Yeah, they were just saying how like you're not always gonna have fun with your spouse.
The part about being a friend versus like in love and yeah, that. And yes,
you're not gonna have you're not gonna have that feeling of like
you're not gonna be in love. After a while, yeah, like you'll just be friends.
Yes. And I was like, no. And I argued. I'm an 18 year old boy.
I'm always going to love her.
Yeah.
Passionately.
Yes. And like argue with a married couple. And I was like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yes. I do remember that. Thank you for fighting for
right. This guy.
This guy. I'm madly in love.
I stuck to that. Oh my gosh. This has just been my personality forever though. Like when I'm set on a
thing. When I've decided a thing.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know what advice people can get from this. Like, please don't be like me. Because like, I'm going to stick to this thing. And
I'm committed that I'm going to be my kid's youth minister.
No, not that, but more of like, I'm committed. I want them to be able to have the skills where they can navigate life well and not need like these huge emotional like experiences
to do things
well, right? Like I want,
for sure.
And I think that takes out like 90% of what the youth minister does.
Yes.
Right? So like they don't need a game to be able to open up to somebody. Like if someone genuinely like is asking them a question, like they're just able to
talk. Should be able to answer. Yes.
Right?
And yes.
So I'm like, oh, who are you?
Yes. Oh, you're entertaining. I'll tell you all my life secrets. I feel it's my also
walls, my walls are down now. Because we played a game with balloons.
Yeah, it's popcorn. A little manipulative, actually. You should not be telling people.
I hate it. All of it.
Come to my van. I have pizza for you.
It's a food truck. I
swear. Oh, gosh. That's not what we do with your kids if you send them to our youth group. Sorry.
No, they get Big White Pizza and they like it.
That's right. Oh, it's all we can afford. That's not true either. I had a point and then we started making jokes.
Like, I want them to be able to like have the skills where they could just, so like when a thing bothers them, they're able to bring it up to the person that bothered them.
Yes.
Right. So like, I feel like that takes away so much of the need of like, I don't know how to navigate this. Like, mom, I didn't like how you, but like, we're teaching them that now, like I have, when you say something to the kids that they come to me like, mommy did this, I didn't like it. I'm like, okay, go ask mommy to apologize.
Yeah.
And like, they've come to me like, mommy, I didn't like how you did that. Can you apologize, please?
Yeah.
And you've always done a great job of apologizing when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, if you teach them that at six, like they'll be able to express themselves at 16.
Yeah.
Like, mom, I'm really having a hard time with X, Y, Z, and I don't like how you're, like, you'll be able to have bigger conversations if they're given the skills now to do that.
Yes. Yes, man. I think part of this, like, okay, practically, what can we get from this conversation is that, like, if you are parents or thinking about becoming parents, like, realizing the investment that you are committing to with your kids, that, like,
it's not just feed them and keep them alive. As much as we joke about
that,
there's so much more you have to be able to, and if you don't know how to do it, you have to learn.
You have to learn instead of assuming or hoping or expecting someone else because they're a quote unquote professional in a certain thing. I mean, even like the expectation of teachers nowadays, right? To like
ridiculous.
Go beyond educating your children in a certain subject, but to be able to identify all of your children's inadequacies and be able to address all of them and help them. And that's not just academically, but also like emotionally and socially. And that is too much for one person. So to be expecting teachers and coaches and youth ministers to form your children in the short amount of time that they have them. Like, no, that is your responsibility. They are your support system. They reinforce what you've done, but they're not the ones that like start to end, like introduce, practice, form, reinforce. Like they don't do all of that. They are, that's not what they're there for. Mm-hmm. Like a coach's main job is to teach your child a sport. Like, yes. As a byproduct, they learn discipline and virtue, but that is not.
Do they? He learns soccer. I'm happy.
Okay.
He's not learning virtue from.
Oh, he's learning show up on time and work hard.
He learns that from you because you're going to be late. You're going to be.
No. Booth expects them all there early.
Yes. He expects himself there super early.
Colby does. Yeah. Booth expects himself to chit chat with everybody before practice.
For an hour.
But he expects the boys to be there.
Yes.
Colby's such a rule follower. You try to push the buttons all the time.
I purposely try to get him late.
I know you do.
Because he needs to learn that everything's not going to explode just because you're late. Sorry. Did I look at you?
First, yes, you are. First, I taught my wife that lesson, and now it's time to teach my son.
So bad. He won't let me do it, though.
Nope.
He'll
be like, fine, mom can drive me.
Yeah. No, but in all honesty, though, like, there's a difference between like wanting to be on time and like anxious, being like full of
neurotic
anxiety because I'm going to be late. So like I've had to be like, Colby, like nothing happens if you're late. Like you're just going to be late. And like, oh, the coach won't let me start warm-ups. I'm like, okay. And I said this to him. This is in the fall. I said, I promise you, we're going to show up late. Nothing would have started and it's not going to start till 30 minutes after you get there. That's not true. Okay. So we got there, and I did it. And then after that, he was like, oh, you're right. Like he has it in his head that like, if I'm not there, all these things are going to fall apart. And again, I like him being early. It's better than him being on time. I don't like him showing up on time. He doesn't have to be like me.
Yeah.
However, he can't have this extra burden and anxiety that like is going
to. I mean, this goes a little bit to our last episode of obsession, right? Like there are certain things that are fine, but if you become like hyper fixated on it, if it is causing you like mental distress when that's not necessary, like you're going overboard here, like you're obsessing over being on time and you're making this irrational now. Yes. Yeah.
So again, we'll save this episode and listen to it again in 4 years.
Check ourselves.
See if they think, if the kids...
Whose foot is in whose mouth?
If the kids don't think I'm cool, I might just quit. I don't think anyone comes to youth ministry because I'm cool. That's never been the thing.
Maybe because you're cool. Oh, because I'm cool? No.
I've never been cool.
Well, that's true, but some people thought you were. No. You tricked them. That's all youth ministry is.
Ice cream in the van. That's the reason people came to this. Oh, last point I was going to make in terms of, we were saying like learning new skills and like learning how to do things with the kids to support them. I think that's something also parents, I know we're exhausted. We are all exhausted. I know we are so tired. But listen, we're still running the race and you can't stop. And I think learning new things as your kids are needing to learn them is so important.
Yes.
Two examples in our own lives, and this is not like a brag, but this is more of because like I have a problem. Like no, because I genuinely, so like growing up, I wasn't really into basketball, and I used to beg my dad to like learn how to play to teach me and coach me.
Yeah.
He never wanted to coach me. He was one that was always like, your coaches will teach you, I'll watch and criticize you until you did bad, but never coach you in the off season and train you. Like he never trained me. And I remember asking him to like fifth grade through eighth grade, like, can you just train me? Oh, I don't know what to do. So with our kids, like when they pick up things that like, they're like, daddy, can you help me? And I don't know how to do it.
When they find an interest. Yeah.
I try to learn it.
Yeah.
So like Rubik's Cube is one of the first examples. Like they started doing the Rubik's Cubes and first they were solving one side.
Yep.
And they were like, can you do it? And I didn't know how to do one side. I was like, I have no idea how to do this. And they kept asking me. So I was like, you know what? I took one day and I spent it on YouTube and I learned how to solve the whole thing. And then I trained, teach them how to solve the whole thing. Now they're better at it than me, which is fine. And now they're into like all these different other ones that I
can't different do shapes. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Do any of the different shapes, all the different like variations of Rotary Rubik's Cube. But like I took on the, like I learned how to do it so I could show them and now they're better at it than I am. And like, that's great. But like taking that on, I think is an important thing that like, I think most parents, and this could also be because of my ADHD, like I'm more eager to learn new things and like try to put myself into new interests. But I think there's also a level of like, when, as you get older, you don't want to learn more things. Like you're good at the things you're good at. I'm going to do the best I can with what I have.
Yeah.
But we still can learn and grow.
Sure.
And implement new things.
And it's good for you too. Not just your relationship with your kids. Keeps me young. Keeps you young. That's why you look 17. But also, I think it's really important for your kids to see you take an interest in what they're interested in. Mm. Like, oh, they care. And that starts like younger, right? Even if you think it's silly or like you don't like cartoons, but like to sit and watch the show with them and to like get to know the characters' names.
Get to know the lore. That's like this long narrative story that builds up the whole universes and thing.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know all the terminology, but
right up there with Riz.
Gosh, stop picking on me. Stop picking on me. But I think it's so important for them to like to see you like attempt to be interested in something that they're interested in purely because they're interested in it.
Not
because
I'm trying to be cool and relevant, but because they're interested.
They're interested in it. And now this is something that we can do together and we can talk about together and I think that that's really important for your relationship building because you have a vested interest in their interests. I like that. You had a second point.
Jiu-jitsu.
always
jiu-jitsu. No, because like I learned it, I like it, but I also part of it was because like they were doing it.
Yeah, John Paul wanted to start it. Yeah,
and I wanted to learn it with them so I can help them with it. Again, they're going to get better than me at some point.
Yeah.
That would be great. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's our parenting thoughts. Sorry they were a little rambly and all over the place. But like, we don't have teenagers yet.
Yeah.
But we've been with
teenagers. Been around them, yeah.
For a very long time. So I hope that experience helps too. Will we be cool forever? I don't know. But for now, we're using whatever gifts God's given us.
Thanks for being here. See you at the next episode.